Alrighty.
Yes. We can just bow our heads and just give praise to the Lord for Dave and his willingness to serve us in this way. We just praise you, Father God, and we thank you for Dave, for our brother Dave here, and that he's going to give us your word this morning, Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through him, that you'll open our hearts, our minds to your word, that we might receive it. And Lord, that when we go out of these doors at the end of the service, Lord, that we might enter your church, which is outside,
amen,
and proclaim your name to everybody.
Amen.
I ask this in that mighty name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Morning, saints of God. I always get a little emotional when we are singing to the Lord, so excuse my snuffles. Does anyone here know what the initials OED stand for? OED. I didn't either until a couple of days ago. And then I learned that OED stands for Oxford English Dictionary. And it's a dictionary which compiles all words that are spoken in English. And recently, well, I suppose from way back, some South African words have landed up in the Oxford English Dictionary. Words like futsek. Recently, there have been some more South African words added to the Oxford English Dictionary. The first one I can think of is gatvol. What does that mean? It means I've had enough of this. Fed up, fed up. The next is shop shop. Shop shop. What does chop chop mean? It's an answer to how are you, chop chop, or things are chop chop, things are good. And the other one, which absolutely is my favorite word, is yo. Yo, which is exclamation mark, exclamation mark, underline, underline, highlight, highlight, highlight. It is wow on steroids. So, can we say, yo, I'm gutful of all the news that's going around, and I want to see something and hear something that is sharp, sharp. Father God, today we pray, Lord, that you open our spiritual ears, that we would disregard the things that are not important to us, and we would listen to your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this word be received by our spiritual ears, that those ears that hear and understand, and I bless you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right. I'm going to speak today about something that is quite close to me, as you probably all know. I am a farmer. Will you just pass them around? Will you pass these around? Just have a look at them and pass them around. I've tried my best to show you right, for those who can't see what we're doing here, what I've done is that I've taken a seed produced by a female asparagus plant, a tiny little red berry, which if you open it up, has two tiny little black seeds in it. And those tiny little seeds are what I'm going to talk about this morning. Because that tiny little seed that you see is something that God does every day of our lives, every minute of every day of our lives. He takes a seed and he causes it to become a plant. in everything you see around us are results of seeds and the germination of those seeds. So the question is this: what does God say about seed planting? And if we look at Genesis 8:22, that's right early in the Bible. What does that say? God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. So seed time and harvest is an immutable law of God's. It'll never cease. Because earth is here, it has endured, we're standing on it. Yep. Seed time and harvest. That's fine, you might say, Dave, that's great, you're a farmer. But what's this got to do with me? Well, a little seed of asparagus planted in the ground will keep bearing next year. Next year will bear for 50 years. So that tiny little seed that you see will feed you for 50 years. What if our words are seeds? What if a word that we speak today can feed us for the rest of our lives? What if? How important are those words that we speak? Let's see what the Lord says about that. So one of God's immutable laws is the law of seed time and harvest. It's immutable, it's unchangeable, it's absolute. What we sow, we will reap. Our words have creative power, like seeds when dropped into an invisible spiritual substance. They germinate and grow and bring after their own kind. Let's have a look at Genesis 1. Words are creative, I said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3. And God said, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters. And it was so. Verse 9. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. Verse 11. And God said, let the land produce vegetation. And it was so. So we have a look at the creative power that God has in simply talking, simply saying. His word contains creative power. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what was seen was not made out of things that are visible. The Bible says to us in Ephesians 5, out of the Amplified Bible, therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-loved children. Romans 4, verse 17. I have made you the father of many. Oh, I've got the wrong scripture there. Sorry about that. Romans, who you have believed, who gives life to the dead, and who calls things which are not as though they were. God's words are creative. He can bring about things that are not yet present. Our words have creative power. Proverbs 18:20 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. Remember what I said about the seed creating food for the rest of our lives? From the fruit of their mouths, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. What is the harvest of our lips? It's our words. The mind is a garden, and your thoughts are seeds. The harvest will bring either flowers or weeds. It's up to us, guys. The tiny seed knows what to do in order to grow. All that is needed is to drop it into the soil of our minds. When it is covered, it will struggle to the light. Every seed we plant requires a period of incubation before it manifests. God does the incubation, sending out tiny roots and green shoots. Your dreams are tiny seeds. Hold on to them. Desire your dream fully in your heart, and it will bud and blossom in your garden. What if a word spoken today can feed you, as I've been trying to put across to you? Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruits. So don't forget, the power of life is also shown as the power of death there. So it depends on what we are saying. Are your words building a future harvest? Life-giving words are healthy, considered, and uplifting. They inspire, they motivate, they build up the hearer. Poisonous, deceptive, or hurtful words can bring disaster. Proverbs 18:7 says, and listen to this, the mouth of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Wow, that's pretty blunt. That's a yo if I've ever heard one. I think we were getting the message. Our words that we speak and the words that we think impact our health, our behavior, and our relationships. When we align our words with God's truth, we get to experience his abundant grace. And we shine the light of Christ into a broken world. How do we align our words? How do we get to speak what God says about us? Because words build our faith. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and healing to the bones. Wow. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Faith is not something that arises spontaneously. But as a result of receiving and believing the message about Jesus Christ. So my question is, how can we practically use this truth, this creative truth that we have in our words, to build our faith? Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from God's word. Hearing is not simply receiving the sounds, it's something more. It's the receiving or acceptance of a report or message. We need to understand what Jesus has done for us. And we need to understand that he's come to give us life and life abundantly. So we shouldn't be under the circumstances. We should be above them. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In those days, way back in Isaiah's time, the Lord had provided Israel with a message. But the prophet laments that very few actually believed it. What about us? Do we believe the message of Christ? As I was listening to Luke's sermon that he preached last week in Genesis chapter 10. I read on to Genesis chapter 11, and the Lord showed me something that blew my mind. I had, as I write here, I had a truly your moment when I read from verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. They all talked in agreement. They all had a common purpose and a common vision. Verse 3 says, they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Verse 4, then they said, the others progresses. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the whole earth. And this is where they missed it completely. This, I think, was the start of the New Age thinking. We can do it by our own power. We are equal to God and can accomplish all by our own efforts. We don't need God. And mankind still thinks the same way today. But look at verse 5. What happened next? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, pay attention to this. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Look at the power of God placed on the words of these people, that nothing will be impossible to them. This hit me like a ton of bricks. So this is the power that God attaches to our words. This is the importance he places on them. It is so good for us to understand this and to watch every word we speak with great care. Matthew 15:11, Jesus said, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. So I want us all to make a commitment to watch our words carefully. And if we can, to start confessing what God says about us. Confessing God's word. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the giver. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is an ironclad promise of God. His word will never return void. So let us make a commitment to daily confess all that is rightfully ours according to God's word. What Jesus accomplished for us has been done. All we have to do is to appropriate it by what we say. And I'm going to give you a few examples. These will be down on the podcast. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, I am a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. 2 Timothy 1:7, I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 5:7, I cast all my care on the Lord, for he cares for me. James 5:16, my prayers are powerful and effective. Philippians 4:19, God richly supplies all my needs. Psalm 103:3, I walk in ever-increasing health. And Psalm 91, I live under supernatural protection. This is what God says about us. Let's align our words with God's truth and confess that over our lives every day. And I hope this has helped you understand the importance of your words. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah.